load of a space heater, which can cause the extension cord or power strip to overheat and potentially catch fire. Heating elements within a space heater can reach temperatures over 500 degrees. So they say they should always be plugged directly into a wall unit and watched very closely when in use. Also, keep them several feet away from anything combustible. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A federal judge has ruled against the Trump administration's ban on asylum for immigrants. Brandon Judd is the president of the National Border Patrol Council. He explains what this ruling means.
What the judge just told them is go ahead and cross the border illegally. Instead of going through a port of entry, which is a legal process, the judge just encouraged them to break our laws, cross the border illegally, drain Border Patrol resources, because then we have to deploy our resources to those areas to take them into custody. This is the wrong decision. It's the wrong message to send. And this is what is spurring these caravans to continue to come as we see caravans stacking up upon caravan. It's very disappointing that a judge would take this stance to encourage lawlessness.
Judd next describes some of that lawlessness that we're seeing on the border.
So you have to look at the 500 criminals that are there. You also have to look at them rushing a port of entry. What the American public has to understand is that they're sitting at the largest land port in the entire nation. This land port generates billions of dollars to the American economy on a yearly basis. When these people threaten to rush the port of entry, they're going to close it down, and they're going to stop up this this legal traffic that's coming through that generates this revenue. And that's just wrong.
Judd was speaking there on Fox News. Please remember, you can check us out online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hey, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters, and we're going to get started with my monthly update. A little bit late because we had a couple of interesting interview opportunities, and I didn't want to pass them up. Last week we talked about the Holly tour, and the weekend before that, I'm trying to remember which one went in place. We had three different good interviews, and I didn't want to. I know what the one before that was, Heath Village, and the one before that was Hunterdon Academy. So here's where we're at. Today is Tuesday, the 20th of November. It's about 4:05 p.m. And I'm going to, first of all, give you the weather, and then we're going to get into this. Weather today, and I'm doing this. They want me to play an intro to the weather. First of all, an intro to the weather.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So now we're going to get to the weather forecast. It is right now out on the street, and I'm just backing up to my base screen, 45 degrees. It's going to go down to 27 overnight. Tomorrow's going to be 42, mostly sunny, 18 overnight. Ouch, that hurts. Thursday's going to be 27 with some winds at 15 miles an hour. Hope the balloons can go up in New York. And then 12 degrees overnight. And on a Friday, it's going to be 33 degrees, 22 overnight. Saturday, 49 with some rain. I guess the rain is going to bring the warmth back in, and 40 overnight. So we're going to have three cold nights between now and then. Bundle up. Make sure your heat is on. If you've got a remote location, make sure that relocation's heat is on as well. Be right back.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th Annual Business Expo and Food Showcase, presented by PNC Bank. It will be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. 3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, it's Joe Peters again, and rather than let me give you my intro for a minute, I'm just going to play my introduction.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Hey, so now you know a little bit more about me. My name is Joe Peters. I do this show once a week. Two out of the four times a month on average are real estate shows, and the other two are general interest and senior 55 plus subject matters. And that's what Heath Village was. We talked all about what they're doing. We talked last week with just a common interest, the Holly Trail, which is a wonderful solution. And I all those playbacks are available on our channel. Take a look and see if you've got some interest in it. Today we're going to talk about real estate. I usually do this first Tuesday of the month, so I'm doing it on the third because of the two others that preempted me. But in effect, we're looking at an interesting market. We're still very active for this time of the year, and we've got some anomalies going on that we don't typically see. So let me give a recap on my what is happening portion. I'm going to talk a little bit of Hunterdon. I'm going to contrast it to our sister county, which is Somerset, And then we're going to talk about why these items are happening. What is happening is, based on the last 4 months of sales, which ended the end of October, we're looking at a six-month supply of inventory. Now, a normal supply is 4 to 6 months. You get above 6 months, in effect, there's pressure on prices. You get below four, there's probably multiple offers and prices going up dramatically. So we're six. We're at the high end of normal. Units going under contract average 63 days, which is pretty good for this time of the year. And we're looking at 146 properties going under contract in October in those 63 days, and that's down from 149 the month before, just slightly. And newly listed properties were 202. There is the big news. We're putting properties on at a record breaking pace for this time of the year. Of our sales, 75% of our sales are under $500,000. Pretty normal. It's usually between 75 and 80%. 25% was above 500, and only 4%, or 6 of the sales, was above 700,000. And unfortunately, that's what's happening in Hunterdon County. You get above 700, it gets soft real quick, and 5 of those 6 were over $1 million. So it's good news for the $1 million market, because we sold 5 houses out of 61. We only have a 12-month supply, but we sold nothing in the 9s. We sold 1 in the 8s, which has a 41-month supply. We sold nothing in the 7s. We actually only sold 8 in the 6s. So our market is sub 500. That's where we're really, really, really active. 3/4 of our sales are happening. But the rest of the areas are seeing some activity. And I got to say, with everything that went on, the midterm elections, the hike in the interest rates, the fluctuation in the stock market, the real estate market has remained active. I break, and I'm holding up my newsletter so you can see it. That's available on my site, jpeters.com, under blog, under market reports. And there's a place there that you can subscribe. Just go to the Contact Joe page, and there's a way to subscribe, and I can send you this newsletter each month via email. Hotspots, and we looked at all the towns in Hunterdon County. Four areas did not have any sales, so anti-hotspots. Alexandria, Franklin, Frenchtown, Stockton, those further out places, no sales. Six areas had 2 sales or less last month. Bloomsbury, Califon, Hampton, Lebanon Borough, Milford, and West Amwell. 5 of the 6 are pretty far out there as well, or on the fringes of our county. Hotspots were Clinton Township. 24 sales out of the 146 happened in Clinton Township. And then Raritan Township had 31 sales. And then Reddington Township, 18 sales. Those three areas always have been our hotspot, and those three together totaled somewhere about 50% of all of the sales. So where do people want to live in Hunterdon County? We have 26 communities. They want to live in Clinton Township, Reddington, Raritan. And those areas butt into the hotspots in Somerset County, which would be Branchburg, Bridgewater, Franklin Township, Hillsborough. Those are the hot spots over in Somerset. So if we take a look, our condos, we sold actually 35 condos, 3 month supply on condos. They're red hot. We have over 55 community. We have 15 for sale. We sold 5 of those, or 3 month supply there. And how do we get month supply? We take the total amount available, we divide the amount that sold, went under the contract, really, in the last 30 days. That equals, so if you had 10 for sale, 5 sold, we got a 2 month supply. 10 for sale, 3 sold, you got free in the 3rd month supply. We don't do much business under $200,000. They're mostly one bedroom condos. But we're looking at pretty active all the way up through 500K. We were at 4 months until we got to 500, 506, and it was 6 months, and then 600, 700, we went up to 12 months. By town, though, that differs. And as I said, those further out towns are taking a while. We have And I'm looking at month supply here. We have 10-month supply in Hampton. We have 16-month supply in Milford. We have 15-month supply in Tewksbury. Tewksbury, because of the price point, it's really our closest in on 78 to the east. And then we have some really, really hot towns like Milford. 16-month supplies, they have 16 available, one sold. That's 16 months. Where if you take a look at Clinton Township itself, 79 for sale, 21 months, 21 one under contract is a 4-month supply. And Clinton itself, 10 for sale, 3 one under contract. So it varies by where you're at. And I've always said, when you look at your picture as to what your value is, there are two factors. It's price point and it's location. Price point, I mean, if you're above 700,000, you're in a soft price point. 700 to a million, very soft. A million and above, a little better. We do have a certain clientele that buy in up there. Most of them haven't found what they wanted in Somerset County and just moved over a county. But below 500, below 400, we're really, really active. Below 500, we're active. Below 600 to 500, somewhat active. Above 600, it gets slow really quick. Let's compare that to Somerset County. Now, what is Somerset County? It's a county of about 3 times our population, and it has about twice the activity we have real estate-wise. It's one county closer to New York, so most people would prefer to live in Somerset County versus Hunterdon County, but there's a big difference. Your property sizes there are a lot smaller, so it's much more dense than you find in Hunterdon County, and your prices are probably 18 to 20% higher. So you get same size house, probably a third of the land, and you're going to pay 20% more. So as we can't find what we're looking for in Somerset County, and I cover both, people move into Hunterdon County, and yeah, they're going to travel in over 5, 10, 15 minutes, depending where they were looking in both counties. But they're finding what they want in their price point. And there was an old adage that people used to drive till they can afford it, and that sort of fits right in there. I've got a lot of people looking in Bridgewater. There's no inventory in Bridgewater under 500,000. Anything clean sells the day it comes on. And I will once in a while convince one of those people to come over and look in Clinton or Reddington or Raritan, and they'll find what they're looking for at a lesser price. They're just going to commute another 10 or 15 minutes. So that was Hunterdon County. Let's talk about Somerset County. Somerset County, units going under contract, 60 days on the market, even quicker than Hunterdon. 332 properties went under contract. If you remember, I said in Hunterdon County, 146. So, as I said, about a 2-to-1 ratio. And, in effect, 301 the month before, 332 last month actually went up. And newly listed properties were 404. I'm going to come back to this newly listed because it's a whole subject of its own. 67% of our Somerset activity was under 500. 29% of it was between 500 and a million, and 4% over a million. But let's take a look at them. We had 6-month supply. They have a 4-month supply. We have, once you get past 600,000, we sold 6 houses. Once they get past 600, they sold 46 houses. They actually sold 13 over a million. And we had an abnormal month last month where we sold 5 over a month, under contract once again. Over a million, it's usually 1 or 2. But they've got 1,464 houses for sale. And the average day on market, as I said, was 60. So let's look at the average price for each. Hunterdon County, average price point is $527 on a listing, on new listings, and $457 on sales. And Somerset County is $550 on a listing and $470 on sales. So $457 to $470 isn't 20%. I think what you're seeing in Hunterdon County, people who have sold their lesser valued properties earlier in the year have moved up to higher end properties, and that's why the price point is up there a little. But really the same thing's happening in Somerset County as well. The biggest thing I can tell you about Somerset County is It's made up of clearly distinct areas. The Warren Watchung area is where people coming from New York first find what they're looking for, but it's pretty pricey. Average price tag in those two towns is over $1 million. If you get up into the hills, it's still pricey, but and that's Bedminster, Basking Ridge, Bernards, all pricey towns, and a little fervor because you got to come down 78 and then down 287 and get on 78. Then you've got towns that are along the railroad lines, which were at first our mass commutation lines for blue collar workers, and that would be the Plainfields, Infrew, Somerville, Raritan, Manville, and even Bound Brook. But there's a twist going on there, and those very same towns, for the very same reason, are starting to see luxury high rises because luxury high rises needs to be near mass transportation. So we had a meeting in Somerset. I'm on the board, Chamber of Commerce in both Somerset and Hunterdon, and we were saying, I said anyway, I'm not sure if anybody agreed with me, it almost looks like if we left those five towns alone, they would rectify themselves as far as their economies because they're coming back. They've got their problems. They've got a high level of low-income people in them. But the new people coming in are offsetting that, and the new luxury high-rises that are going in effect, getting rented quickly and are well sought after. Somerville itself, downtown, there's free luxury high-rises, all because they can take a train to New York, all because they can walk downtown. We're getting back to that lifestyle that we had probably 50 years ago. We've gone full circle. People moved to the suburbs during the 70s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. And then the tide rescinded a little during the economic crunch that started in 05 and lasted through about 7 years after that. And now we're seeing a reluctance for people to come out this far. They want to be closer to New York, and they want to be where there's mass transportation. So why is this all happening? And that's the second part of my newsletter. Somebody once said, knowing what is happening is going to keep you employed. Knowing why it's happening is probably going to put you in charge. And why it's happening is very compound, but very logical. So let me run through. New home sales. For the first time in 3 years, we've seen an improvement in the inventory situation, which is good news. Remember I'm saying we're starting to see listings. But it's still below what we need, especially in the price tags that we're looking to sell. This is leading to a bit of softening in price appreciation on existing homes, a slowdown in growth. What we were seeing was maybe, and we saw it in general, somewhere about 5 to 6%. But when you get over 500,000, over 600,000, there's almost no improvement in growth. Activity concentrates in the under 400,000 market where millennial buyers transitioned into home ownership. And during the same period, all housing sales showed increases across all other price points, showing confidence in the changes made in taxes and deregulation. There's also been an improvement at the very high-end towns where rail service to Manhattan is readily available. At the same time, the number of homes offered for sale at the low end dropped slightly last month, and the supply decreased across New Jersey by a few hundred homes, but it had been going up and up and up. And we still have 31,000 fewer homes on the market than we had in 2011. That's a lot less homes. Current unsold inventory in New Jersey varies widely by county, some having only 4 months, like Somerset. No county presently has more than 9 months. And the higher-end counties are the further remote counties are the ones hit by the storms. The average is 5 months, and that's compared to 4.7 months just a year ago. We have an acute shortage of inventory in both Hunterdon and Somerset in the under 400 market, 400,000. And this is leading to a bit of softening in the price appreciation, as I said. And we've seen initial gentle pullback in 2018 as a reaction to what's considered price sensitivity for some of the existing inventory. In other words, we had a couple of good years 4, 5, 6% appreciation, and people are sort of building that into their price expectation when they list, and we're seeing on the other side, from the buyer's side, less acceptance of that price, and the houses are sitting longer on inventory, and as a result, prices are coming down a little. And we're starting to see some millennials come back. The millennials in general went towards the cities because they want a walkability. We're seeing a little bit of them coming back, but when they do come back, they're looking for some things that we don't necessarily have. Nightlife, mass transportation, high rise in town where they can walk to things and catch a train. We're still short in many of the things that they're looking for. Interest rates have been a real pain. I mean, I think the fact that interest rates went up 2 or 3 times since the first of the year is good news because we need to do that to keep inflation in check. So it's an economic good news. But the bad news is it's very yin, there's a yang. The yang is they went up. Good news, the yang is it slowed the market down. The market hit its brakes somewhere around September. And in effect, between interest rates going up, the uncertainty about the midterm elections, a little bit of fluctuation in the stock market, but most of that has been now in the fourth quarter. We haven't seen what we could have had. And at the same time, we still aren't having bad months. The national job front, this is great news. 3.7%, a 49-year low. 250,000 jobs in October. 2 million jobs plus year-to-date, trending towards 2.7. At the end of July, we had 7.1 million openings compared to 6.2 million unemployed. So why don't we just put them to work? The answer is, first of all, there's a certain amount of seasonal and illness unemployment. That's usually about 3%, which is just about what the 6 million is. If you look at 200,000 working people, 3% is 6 million. But the biggest part of it is the people are either A, geographically not where the jobs are, or B, their skills aren't where the jobs are looking for skills. And this is a big problem. We're getting people traditional 4-year degrees, and the jobs that we're building are not using those educational requirements. So we sort of need to take a really hard look at education, a whole subject matter separate from this. New Jersey job front. New Jersey unemployment's at 4.2%, bolstering consumer confidence in New Jersey as well. In effect, New Jersey's rising with the tide of nearly full employment. We added 1,000 jobs in September, not a lot, but 49,000 have added to date in 2018 as compared with 34,000 for the same period the year before. And if it continues, we'll add 62,000 jobs by year end. And the level of jobs being created is much higher. So the people that we're putting to work aren't $8, $9, $10 an hour people. We're putting people to work who can, if not up front, eventually afford to buy a house. It also should be noted that these jobs are mostly in the northern half of the state. So the further remote you get, the harder it is to find work. That's what we call traffic. So everybody gets in a car and drives to the east or the northeast towards New York to find work. And in the evening, they get in the car and drive back home again. Rental market trends. Mental market trends is interesting because we have an extremely tight rental market. And truly, estates, on the average, is 26% less expensive to own versus to rent. That's interesting. Price-restrictive mortgage standards nudged millennials to postpone home mortgage to later in life than we had previously seen. These potential buyers living with their parents or share rentals are starting to see them re-enter the first-time buyer market, but there's no houses there for them to buy. That's why the housing shortages happen. The average age of a first-time buyer changed from the 20s to the 30s, and that's over the past 5 years. Older Americans impacted by underfunded retirement plans due to economic downturn rent houses as well. I'm one of them. So there's a lot of reasons to rent a house, and it depends on your age and it depends on your requirement. We're finding that people later in their baby boomer cycle, where they would typically buy one more big house once the kids go to school, and they're probably in their 50s, aren't doing that. They're thinking, house isn't a good investment like it used to be. I'm not going to get 6, 7% a year, especially if I buy something over 600K. And as a result, they're sitting where they're at. The tax requirement has affected that a little, but I think it's more of a misunderstanding. Rental prices in New Jersey are reflecting the fact that some people are selling their big house and going into rentals. That's where these high-rise rentals are coming into place. Drop in New Jersey's home ownership contributes to the rental demand. A 12-plus year trend showed a 71% home ownership decrease to 66%. The 7% decrease as compared to an 8% national average contributes to the slow recovery of home prices in the state and adds about 20,000 additional renters in our state. However, the 71% level was a result of the loose lending standards that got us into all the problems we had. One article states that the average homeowner has a net worth of $230,000, and at the same time, the average renter a net worth of $5,000. It also offers a stable place to live, home ownership, that is, as evident in a hedge against inflation and a way to build wealth. However, the number of renters is increasing instead of decreasing, and it's gone 7% over the last 25 years. One disturbing thing we're seeing is that when millennials go towards New York City, and they may not go all the way into the city because it is super expensive to live in New York City, but they could wind up in Bayonne, Jersey City, someplace that's easy to commute to New York City, even if they wind up in the counties that butt into New York City. The rents are much higher. A rent in Hunterdon County for a two-bedroom nice unit might run $1,750 to $2,000. The same rent in the county right next to New York City is going to run twice that. So instead of maybe spending 15 or 20% on rent, they're going to be spending 30 to 40% of their gross on rent. But secondly, living there is more expensive. The dry cleaners are more expensive. The cup of coffee is more expensive. The groceries are more expensive because they're in a more densely populated area. And as a result of that, the people living in a rental society closer to New York are not accumulating wealth or the funds needed to eventually buy a house. And the forecast is that if this continues, we're going to see a tale of two cities on home ownership. We're going to see very well-employed renters spending a lot of money on rent and lifestyle, and we're going to see less and less people buying those first-time house because they're not putting the money away that's needed. Quite frankly, if your average is $5,000 in net worth, you are not going to be able to buy a house. Probably takes about 5 to 6%, 3% down, 2 to 3% to close of an average house. And that's not $5,000. New Jersey foreclosures. New Jersey continues to face high foreclosures, but it's improving. Figures vary, once again, by local market. We now rank number 5. We were number 1 for years. And it's led by 2.6 in New York City and 3.2% in Florida and 2.9% mostly hurricane-related in Louisiana. And then there's a few other states like Maine, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Alabama that are also high. So we're the 5th. It's not bad. We're improving, but we're still going to have more than 60,000 foreclosure filings this year. That means those properties will take somewhere around 3 years to get off the books, and that means that we're going to have bank sales, short sales, the whole gamut there. Let's talk about the tax effect, because I think this is the biggest misunderstanding we've got. Three specific areas were talked about in the tax cut: SALT, mortgage interest, and home equity lines of credit. It appears the overall concern about the salt is offset by the lowering of the brackets. And you would really have to be earning better than $400,000 before you didn't have more benefit than you did expense there. The higher income in a luxury market is probably the most at risk, and we're seeing that. In Somerset County, I do a lot of open houses in the Warren Watchung area that are in $1.2 million to $1.5 million that have been either on the market for a while or are vacant. They're people that can afford to wait, which is a mistake, and they're sitting there vacant. There's a lot of inventory, and it gets soft over there, but it gets soft much higher up, over $1 million. In a nutshell, these changes appear to be having little impact, the tax changes, but there will be some high-end people affected. This will turn, in fact, that segment of the market will affect that segment of the market. The effect might slow price growth on higher price homes in New Jersey, even though turn into a deficit in some of the more affluent areas. So let's do a recap. I break this into, first of all, the economic conditions, then changes in lifestyle, then market conditions, and then my forecast. People say to me, Joe, where do you get all this information from? Well, number one, I do this for a living. I probably work 60 hours a week at it, and I'm talking to people constantly. But secondly, I'm well-read. I read and publish blogs daily. You can go and take a look at my blog post. This morning we were talking about how the baby boomers have forced the first-time buyers out of the market in their local areas when they probably would really like to have them back, but decisions made 10, 15, 20 years ago on zoning are saying you can't build that kind of house here, and as a result, nobody's building starter homes. But I listened to several, one statewide, really Central Jersey, and one nationwide advisors, and I incorporate what I learned from them into my thinking. So this is a combination of my research and what I've read. 2017, seventh straight year of 2 million plus job gains. Good news. Although improving in 2018, New Jersey job situation has been declining for the past 2 years. At 4.2% unemployment, New Jersey is almost 12% above the national average, which currently is 3.7% and forecasted to go down further. The best paying jobs and the most attractive jobs are in New York City, attracting millennials in that direction. Interest rates have already risen 0.75 point since the first of the year and are forecasted to rise another 0.25 point by year's end, or roughly thereabout. And that probably takes 9 to 10% out of your buying equation. At the same time, house prices have gone up, especially in the popular price points. Yeah, we're not getting a lot of appreciation above $500,000 and $600,000, but we are getting it in the popular price point. So if you're looking to buy a $500,000 house and you lost 9% of your buying power, now you could only buy a $455,000. And if at the same time that house price went up 6 or 7%, you are only going to afford a 4.25%. So it's a dramatic change to wait. And that's why the rush has been to buy houses in those price points. House prices, 6%. Popular housing having the best results in that area. Baby boomers are choosing to stay put. There's no entry-level construction going on in our area. We sort of jurisdicted it out. And just larger homes and new rentals. As a result of the previous 2 points, we are experiencing the current housing inventory shortage, as stated earlier. The shelves are empty in our starter housing price points. Foreclosures are on the decline. To some extent are helping the shortage of inventory. Also, there's confidence in a new Tax Job Act will further stimulate the economy with more jobs, and the economy remains robust. Love this guy or hate this guy. Love this administration or hate this administration. We're having a great economic period of time. And the new tax rules appear to be only affecting our very high-end buyers. I would say it would be the upper half of 1%. Changes in lifestyle. This is important. So the economy, one thing. Lifestyle's another. Average age of marriage is now in the mid-30s, up 7 years over 10 years ago. Families usually having only one or two children due to the cost and the ability to choose. Big dramatic change. 65% of all New Jersey homes have no children of school age in them. 50% do not have two people in them. Demand for larger houses has diminished not only in New Jersey, but everywhere. Larger houses are expensive. People aren't earning what they used to earn, and they're not having the amount of children that they used to have, which required them to have that. As a result of our job situation, buyers are gravitating to other areas within 15 miles of New York City. 80% of all consumers will still perceive that home ownership is part of the American dream. It's just what they want to buy or rent that has changed. Builders are building four-bedroom center hall colonials on one-plus acre lots. And buyers are looking for high-rises close to mass transportation and more in a city environment. Truly a mismatch. And for the first time in history, Hunterdon County, which has been declining in population, is reported more deaths than births. That's an amazing number. That's an amazing statistic. This isn't bad news. It's just understanding why this is happening. Market conditions. We're starting to see some warnings of economic slowdown at the end of 2020. And as the Fed rises interest rates to curb inflation, the effect on housing will probably be limited to curtailing the growth and appreciation, but not in loss of value. In other words, we won't be raising the prices as high as we were over the last few years, but they won't be dropping. In general, homeowners are sitting with more equity in their house in New Jersey than ever before, with 92% having positive equity. And they're no longer using these houses as an ATM, which they were, which sort of helped the financial crisis along. So the effect of the slowdown on housing should be minimal, if at all. We'll just see less appreciation in prices. Consumer confidence remains extremely high nationwide based on the job and the stock market. Confidence is reflected in buyer traffic being up at open houses. However, with a lack of inventory, there's less open houses. Affordability will never be as good of shape, and interest and price increases start to eat into what you can afford. So in other words, it's not going to be better. Going forward, it's going to be worse. Millennials make up 24% of occurring home ownership, and it could be double that if we had houses for them to buy. Central New Jersey's trend in 2016 and early 17 showed a surge in home sales, but price increases only in houses clustered in the under 500K market, where our first-time buyers and millennials are focused. The over 600K market holds steady, diminishing slightly, depending on the price and location, and often a over 600 house is now bumping into a 7 or an 8 that can't be sold, and they're lowering the price just to unload the inventory. The extremely high end of the market has also seen some appreciation in 2018 so far. Analysts' five-year forecast indicates slow to steady but diminishing price growth and an annual average of somewhere between 3 and 4%, where it's been more like 5 to 6% the last few years. And in the under 400K market, it's even higher than that. There's an acute shortage of inventory. Both Hunterdon and Somerset County are now on par with last year's inventory, but we're still about 10% off the year before and 50% of where we were in 2011. Simply stated, if we had more inventory, we'd have more sales. In 2017, price rose, averaging 3.5%, depending on price points. 2018 is going to be closer to 5 without factoring in any tax impact. And the following two areas will be less in percentage, but will show modest growth depending on price point and location. Mortgage delinquency is normalizing. That is great news. We're going to come out of having all of these short sales and bank sales eventually. So here's my forecast, and it's not just mine. It's the forecast that I am reading elsewhere and putting into my own words. Our economic Our economy will continue to prosper with no recession currently in sight for at least 24 months. And the most likely effect on a recession would be the rate of price appreciation would slow. Interest rates will climb to about 5%, 5 plus by year end, and further decreasing buying power. Home prices will rise an average of another 3% during that same period, which will depend on your price point and your location, as I stated earlier. While improving, supply will remain tight in our more popular price points in residential real estate. Many new jobs seem to be resulting from the tax cuts. Push open a door in any restaurant, you're going to see help wanted on that door. That doesn't mean it's a good paying job, but it does mean that the people that were filling those jobs have moved up the good paying jobs and are looking for entry level people. We are at full employment in our area. For the first time in memory, we're reporting 67.1 million jobs, I should say 7.1 million jobs open, and only 6 million people unemployed. We went through that earlier. We now need to match the skills and get the people employed where the skills are looking for their the jobs are looking for the skills that they don't have. And community colleges are really good at that. The affordability index shows that there's more room for much more sales. We need to increase the inventory. The most affordable time to buy is now. Some decrease in moderate price home ownership could result by the rising of the standard deduction. What that means is there's not as much of an incentive at the $300,000 level as it used to be. Your standard deduction doubled where people used to buy a house and got a tax shelter out of it. Now you're going to get the tax shelter even without buying the house. But the reason to buy the houses are still there. Choice of where you live, choice of who you live near, choice of when you where your children go to school, commuting time to work, things like that. Some of the high-end fallout could result in residential real estate from the SALT and mortgage interest tax changes. Once again, it's going to be in the upper 1% or even less than that, more like half of 1%. Commercial real estate market is flourishing. It's a whole different subject matter. There are a whole bunch of new tax incentives for depreciation. And I know I had breakfast 3 or 4 months back with one of our local mayors, and his corridor is down Route 22 and 78, and he's saying, Joe, everything we've got is almost rented. That's great news. That will lead to people buying houses in the area. The midterm elections were an unknown. I think they still are. I think we came in pretty close to expectations. I was hearing a whole bunch about a blue wave. That doesn't seem to happen. But I think we've got a balance in place that could be good for us. The market reacted initially well. I think the reaction in the last week or so have been some of the overpriced tech stocks adjusting. And somebody putting on a new telephone every 6 months. When no one really needs a new telephone every 6 months. This market is saturated with technology in certain areas. There's just no reason to buy. And as a result of that, people aren't. They're saying, what I got's good enough. And it's not just telephones, it's computers. I am a fairly technical person. I bought a laptop. I have an extensive desktop that does everything when I'm sitting at my desk, but I'm usually not there after 7 o'clock in the morning. I bought a laptop 4 years ago, and the model laptop that I've got keeps coming out with an improvement every year, and the improvement isn't worth me buying another one. It's a slight improvement. Yeah, I'd like to have it. No, I don't want to spend another $1,000 to have it. So as a result, and the same thing's happening with phones, people aren't, they don't have that impetus to move up technologically, and that's what you're seeing in the stock market, in my humble opinion. People in their homes less than 10 years have very positive home equity built up. This is important. And A more significant portion of payments are being applied to the principal, so the equity keeps increasing. Increases in selling prices should eventually motivate people to make changes in their lifestyle by investing in summer homes or even starting a new business. And I put a little disclaimer at the bottom. This is presented as public service by Joe Peters, Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. I took reasonable precautions in presenting this information. Please consult with a professional sales agent and take no actions based on my opinions, gathering trends and statistics. I assume no liability. You can subscribe to receive this newsletter at jpeters.com/contact. There's a little box there that says subscribe. So let me recap without looking at things. And once again, if you'd like a copy of this newsletter, go to jpeters.com, go to blog, and under blog, there's market recaps. I have one for Hunterdon County, Somerset County, the town of Warren Township, the town of Bridgewater, and Canal Walk, which is a 55-plus community in Somerset County. But if you were to say to Joe, give me two or three sentences that describes where we're at in the market, I would say financially and security-wise, we're in really good shape. In other words, there's jobs, there's better-paying jobs. In general, the stock market's in great shape. It was up almost 40% over the last 2 years. People's 401ks are doing well. The last few days haven't been good, but in effect, every time it goes down, it goes back up. So there's work, there's investment opportunity, there's jobs, there's one thing missing, and that's entry-level housing. And entry-level housing isn't being built because first of all, land is very expensive. And we can't build entry-level housing the way we built it in the 2000 to 2010 range. We put up a lot of maybe $200,000 to $300,000 housing back then, $300,000 to $400,000 even. We haven't done any of that since the recession hit. So, A, the cost of land. B, the expense of putting up new versus resale, which is almost 2-to-1 because of the land prices. And C, the jurisdictions that says you have to build a X acre lot with a Y square footage house on it eliminates us putting up entry-level housing in the free market. Now, we are putting up affordable housing units. That's a whole other conversation, because affordable housing does affect entry-level housing because it stands in the way in a lot of the communities. But I'm not prepared or qualified to cover affordable housing the way it needs to be covered. But what I am experiencing is that in towns where affordable housing is going up, people are up in arms saying, you can't do that. We don't want that here. And they're like, 3.5 years too late, because the discussions and the plans and the budgets were all put together 3.5 years ago. And in effect, showing up when the final approval is getting done isn't going to change a thing. It's just going to get you more frustrated. We need less apathy and more involvement at the town level, at not only who we put in place, but at the planning board level, so that we understand what is being built in our town. I've attended two separate sessions, one 2 years ago in Hunterdon and one this year in Somerset County, which were called leadership programs, Leadership Hunterdon, Leadership Somerset. They gave me a very involved look at both counties, and both counties have complex issues, different but complex. And I think most people come here, go to work, and go back home. Come to work, go to work, come back home. Go to work, come back home. Once again, we call that traffic. And they don't look around. But if you do stop and go look around and get involved in a program like this, if you have the time, to understand what's going on in your county, you would be better equipped to get involved even further and make a difference. But when we have a school board meeting and three people show up and that's where the decision is made, it's apathy. It's people who are too tired, don't have the time, don't have the interest to get involved in local politics to make things happen. And I'm not saying you have to be politically involved. I am saying you got to be involved. We're in a wonderful county, Hunterdon County, and we have a great future ahead of us. It's a great place to live, and it's not going to change. But we are losing population. We are losing the millennials. I listened to somebody say something just in the last 2 weeks that, you know, New Jersey in general takes 40% of all of their college students and sends them out of state to pursue careers that are probably not even existing anymore. And those are not coming back. We've got this brain drain going on. And at the same time, due to the expensiveness of living in New Jersey, we have an expense drain going. There are people, I would say 50% of the houses I list are people moving out of the state. Allied Van Line says two-thirds of everybody they move out, not in. So we've got a drain going on in general. You got to get involved locally. You got to know what's going on. And I'd be glad to talk to anybody, 908-238-0118. I'm going to play my commercial one more time, and hopefully you'll subscribe to my newsletter, and I appreciate you tuning in. This has been Joe Peters.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to joepeters.com or call 908-282-0118.
Once again, to contact Joe, jpeters.com or 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News.
Saudi Arabia, if we broke with them, I think your oil prices would go through the roof. I've kept them down.
President Donald Trump speaking outside the White House regarding our relationship with Saudi Arabia after the president said also in a statement that it could very well be that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia had knowledge that Jamal Khashoggi was killed in the Saudi consulate in Turkey. The president was also asked if we're heading towards a recession.
I think your tech stocks have some problems, but that'll come back. But no, I think we're going to do very well.
The FDA said under no circumstances should anyone eat romaine lettuce as a result of a multi-state E. coli outbreak. Former Michigan State University President Lou Anna Simon is facing charges connected to the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal. Michigan Attorney General Bill Shute charged her with a pair of felonies and two misdemeanors for lying to police. This is USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The wait is finally over. Dell's biggest Black Friday ever is on. Save up to 50% on Black Friday deals, plus get free shipping on everything. With massive deals on Dell computers with 8th Gen Intel Core processors, the hottest gaming gear, and savings on top brand electronics like Samsung TVs, it's the one sale of the year you don't want to miss. Just call 800-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/Black Friday. Quantities are limited. Call 800-BUY-DELL for more Black Friday deals.
Before leaving the White House, President Trump officially pardoned the turkey named Pease.
Pease, I hereby grant you a full pardon.
A far-right organization is being labeled a hate group by authorities. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
A report from law enforcement in the state of Washington says the group known as Proud Boys is designated, quote, with ties to white nationalism. The report says the FBI is warning law enforcement that the Proud Boys are actively recruiting in the Pacific Northwest in particular. The group, largely defined by misogyny and racism, is known for inciting violence at political rallies. The group's leader, Gavin McInnes, insists that the Proud Boys are not white nationalist or alt-right, but the Southern Poverty Law Center also has them listed as a hate group. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
It's all cold down along the beach.